Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Third and seven. Evans. 600. It is.
Gotcha. I've never heard of 600 in anything in football, but Brady has it.
He's got the gas face.
I'm still laughing.
These guys had, what, two songs, man? This song and the gas face.
Oh, come on.
That's it. Pop the weasel.
Don't rip.
Weasel
on
goes pop, yeah, and then the gas face. That's it. That's all they had.
They're fantastic. Love third base. That was Tom Brady's 600th career touchdown pass. Like, is it? I reckon he doesn't have.
Yes.
Yours.
Yep.
Yeah, but 600.
Which I think is my the record I have right now with Vinny Testaverde is actually more impressive than anything he's ever done.
Well, it's just one play.
I mean, it's the best sign of longevity.
All right, so Tom's got 602, Breeze second at 571, Manning 539. Rodgers is the only first as far as active quarterbacks, 427. Like Brady's not done. Like this has to go on one of those records that will never be broken. Do you agree or no?
Oh, no. No. Not only do you have to have longevity, but you have to have the prolific offenses.
So 30 touchdowns, for 20 years.
No way.
I mean, think about
not
that.
Not a chance.
Okay, there's somebody, maybe the game changes, and it's 40 touchdowns for 15 years.
You know how it changes?
But 15 years.
You know
all
how it changes? I'll tell you how it changes. You add more games. You get rid of the preseason games. So now each 18. Year you have four more games. So then if you can maybe play 15 years, then I would say it's possible. Instead of a, 17 regular season game season, you would have call it 20. Then, you can find it.
I know, but to me, it's almost like, you look at guys like just currently NFL and you're like, okay, they got to play in, how many more years? Like, they got to stay healthy, like a Mahomes
yeah,
or
but
a Herbert.
If you,
you know, year one,
if you,
pop like 30-something, Like, okay, does he got 17 more years in him? He might.
But if you say, okay, if you add four games each year and you play 15 years, I mean, you don't have to play 20 years to break the record. You have four extra games. And let's say, so Brady only missed 1 year. And you would assume, that's part of the equation also.
So
imagine
Brady's,
if he never got hurt.
Brady's
for a year.
Two behind Peyton Manning in fourth quarter comebacks, 43-31.
Oh, that's impressive. That to me is a number with Peyton he played a long time also, but the fact that he still has that record?
Yeah, 43-41.
Where's John Elway in?
Do we have
category?
Brady talking about this 600th TD? Do we have that one in there? Ryan talking about the fan giving him the ball back.
What do you say to the fan who gave you back your 600th ball?
It was really cool. I got it in the bag over there. So Mike gave it away. He goes, man, I'm sorry, man. I get it. I said, sorry. I'm sure they'll figure out a way to get it back. But I don't actually keep too many things. So in that circumstance, I felt like that might be a good one to keep.
The fan said when you asked for the football, he said he couldn't say no to Tom Brady. You got to give respect.
That's pretty cool. He's going to get something nice in return. So we'll get him a helmet or a couple jerseys or some other stuff. So it was really cool of him to do that.
So he did. He got some other stuff.
This is according to
Rick Stroud. So his name was Byron Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor, by the way.
Ooh, like a real doctor or like a doctor of chiropractic?
I don't know. He's a doctor. I don't know what doctor he
is. Foot doctor?
Kind of doctor he is. Doctor. Two signed jerseys and a helmet from Tom Brady.
Okay.
A signed Mike Evans jersey and his game cleats.
Ooh.
Gets $1,000 credit at the team store.
Mm-hmm.
He got two season passes for the remainder of the season as well as next.
I also heard he got a Bitcoin.
Tom Brady revealed, Bitcoin. That he got a full Bitcoin, which is about $63,000.
$63,000. Right? So you got a $1,000 credit at the team store, but then we're also going to give you something right now that's currently worth $63,000.
Can I cash that out at this point in
time? Sure.
Now, does that actually technically cost Brady?
Because it's going to go through the roof to the moon.
But does
that's
that
what crypto
cost,
and Bitcoin's doing?
So did Brady give him $63,000?
He gave him one Bitcoin
worth
$63,000.
Gave him something that is worth $63,000.
So he gave him $63,000.
Yes, he did. Currently.
Or in a year, he gave him something that's worth $163,000.
That's what it's worth right now. I mean,
that's
you know,
pretty good.
It was like 30, I think, I don't know, last fall, whatever it was, or it took off last fall.
Yes.
I mean, this thing was like $5,000-$10,000, whatever it was, a year ago or 2 years ago.
And
now it's 63. It was, you know, people say, it's up and down. It's going nowhere. Oh, crap. It ain't going anywhere. It's only going to the moon.
Today, I put my red eyes
on right now on my Twitter account.
Today, I went to the store and I got some stuff.
Jacked up.
And they said, no cash. They don't accept cash.
Who doesn't accept cash?
I forget what the store was. I was like getting a coffee and just ran in there. They didn't accept cash.
They accept Bitcoin?
They only credit cards. Only credit cards, no Bitcoin. I don't know if I can handle a world that doesn't allow me to use cash.
Why not?
Like, but we're from the same era. Like, you saved money, piggy bank, underneath your mattress. You know, you had a little coffee can stick your...
I get
You know where I used to save my money real quick?
I don't have cash.
Guess where I used to save my money?
In your piggy bank?
No, it went in a Crown Royal bag.
There you go. You're boozing as a kid.
Those my parents
See,
were
I'm,
boozing
I'm actually
Crown
like
Royal.
The opposite now. Now it's like if I go in somewhere and it says like cash only, like I walk in, I look at the guy, I give him like a little wink. I'm like, what's up, man? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Those are the smart ones.
What do you mean cash only? What are you doing here, man? What, can I go in the back room? What are you doing here? Are we fronting right now?
I love those guys.
What do you mean cash only?
I love those guys.
Cash. Nobody has cash anymore. You go cash only? Like it's kind of like ice cream shops do it. No big deal.
Yes.
But you
yes.
walk into like another store and a cash only, you're like,
pizza joint.
How you doing? Hey, what's up?
No paper trails.
What are we doing back here?
No, we all know why.
You running
cash
the numbers?
Only.
Running the numbers?
A lot of diners.
Huh? You running the numbers? Running the numbers? What are we doing? Cash? What do we mean cash only? Restaurant. We talking about restaurant cash only.
Put them in the bathroom.
Jeez, what the hell are we doing?
So what would you have done? So I would like to put ourselves in this situation because
would you have given it back?
Yes, right away.
Yes, of course you give it back.
Now, are we talking non-football player Christian that doesn't have a history with Brady?
Yes.
Taking the ball and no, you ain't getting no coke.
You ain't getting no coke?
You ain't getting no coke. No.
How about this? How about this is guy again? It's Byron Kennedy. He was on the NFL Network and he talked about getting the ball from Brady.
So that guy came up and basically said, can we get the ball back? And my first reaction was no. I told him you can't have the ball back. I've never gotten a football like this. This is the coolest thing ever. No. We went back and forth a little bit and he's basically saying Tom Brady really wants the football. So like I said earlier, you can't say no to Tom Brady. He's asking for his record breaking 600 touchdown football back. He's the one who earned it. I just got lucky, happened to be there at the right time.
Byron, I'm giving you a chance right now. You're on NFL Network. Would you like to renegotiate?
Renegotiate? No, but maybe play a round of golf with Tom as a repayment.
Okay.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Is that creepy or no?
No. You get 4 hours to hang out with your idol.
So I don't know, renegotiate. So is this guy sitting there, I'd rather give up all the monetary value. He is a doctor. Maybe he doesn't care about money. And he's just sitting there saying, you know, I just want the experience. You know, I just want to go out and play a round of golf. I don't think that's strange.
Yeah, this is a man who's sitting front row of the end zone for Bucks Bears in a 425 game. He is not hurting for money. He's a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
What if his practice sucks? What if he's not a good doctor? What if somebody gave him the tickets?
Bad doctors still get rich in America.
I don't know about that. He is in Tampa.
You think he screwed this thing up? Think he could have got more? Should have got more?
Yes, but I do think the whole I want to play golf with you is weird.
You do.
No, this is not that's not like for like. Like, I'm not giving you my time. It's too valuable.
If you're Brady, aren't you sitting there saying, oh, man, I'll give you two Bitcoins.
Yeah, I'll give you two. I'm not hanging out with you.
I mean, what, you want 2,000?
6 hours?
$2,000 at the gift store? What do you want? I mean, it's like a 5-hour day. Like, You know, I don't.
I got to talk with you?
Yeah, it's not like, you know, fundraisers in my do these cart? Like scrambles and you just play with like four guys. It's whatever. It's no big deal. But just you and I hanging out, like two of your buddies.
No.
Like just playing. What is this? You know, what are we doing here?
No, we're not going to do that. I'm going to stay as far away from you as possible. But listen, nice job by that guy. That was impressive. I don't actually know. So like all the home run, like what is it? The Barry Bonds, the Mark McGwire, when those home runs like were getting, you know, launched into the water or outside the park, like who ended up getting that ball and how did it end up even, like, I'm sure somebody sold it, right?
Yeah, you talk about, like, yeah, San Fran.
Yeah, but Barry Bonds, they were out in the canoes, yeah.
Yeah, they scooped
it. And who ended up, like, who ended up
diving in? I don't know who ended up getting it.
That was such a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. But this one here, like, record-breaking. It's not record-breaking. You already broke the record. 573 was the record.
And do you know,
it's just 600. You just want 600.
And, well, listen, 600, the value, like, once he gets to 650, if he gets to 650, that's the one of value. Like the last one, is the value. Why does 600 have more value than 622?
It's a nice roundy.
I know, but why would 600 have more value? This is unprecedented. Like this is he actually is setting the bar. The number is whatever he ends with.
Well, I'm just saying, like 572 is the record breaker, right? But 600 is sort of like this nice round number that may never be touched.
No, I know, but 622 is never going to be touched. Well, that's the new
number. Can Brady get 700?
Well, my point
is... He's got 20, what's he got, 20 or 21 right now? I think it was...
He's got 21.
21 and
3. Touchdowns.
21, 3 picks. And we saw the 3 picks. I saw two of them early in the year. Remember, off the hands of Fournette, and that's those screen pass, and then a Hail Mary. 21 touchdowns. Like, if he plays 3 more years, he can't get 30 in each year. You know he's going to get at least 10 more, 15, 20 more here. Yeah, I mean, he can get 700.
And that's my point. The ball, fine, has... Okay, so
give it back to him and take what I can get.
So the home run record was what, 52? I don't know. What the hell was it?
No, I don't even know.
What was it?
I don't even know. 61?
Oh, 61. All right, so it was 61. What did Barry Bonds actually end up with?
I have no idea. 72?
73.
Okay, so that's the one that you want. You don't want the you know, 62 or 63 or 64.
It's a nice round number.
You want my point is,
I think
the guy
well
got
himself.
Exactly what he should have got because the ball
well
is going to have no value next week when Brady throws for 601 and 602.
I think he did well for himself. All you people making fun of crypto, that 62 is going to be about 250 grand a couple years, okay?
By the way,
he did pretty well for himself.
The auction houses say that ball, the 600 touchdown ball, worth $500,000.
Who said that? Darren Rovell.
The auction houses. Darren Rovell has a bunch of friends, the nerds in the auction house industry, and he knows.
Well, I did hear that Brady's first touchdown pass went for 100.
Hey, what about that first touchdown at Gillette Stadium? I wonder how much that ball is worth. Again, I guess who has that ball?
Do you have it?
Guess who has that ball?
Do you have it? Is it with your rings?
Oh yeah, baby. Who's got that ball?
The odds are you have no clue where it is.
Maybe true.
Based on the fact that you lost your Super Bowl rings,
you know what?
For about 6 months, only to find them in your backpack.
True story. You know where I have the ball? Okay, I'll tell you where it is. This is the problem.
It's in Caleb's dorm.
No, it's in a big giant bag, one of those travel bags of a bunch of other balls. Some are labeled, some are not.
So is that one labeled?
I haven't looked at it yet. I'm gonna go digging in it.
No,
I'm gonna go digging it like Scrooge McDuck is all his money.
He's using that to prop a door open.
Maybe.
So the Manning broadcast last night was fantastic. I thought Sue Bird was great in the third quarter, but really it was about Brady and Marshawn Lynch. But I thought Tom Brady, there was a very interesting discussion between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and what they think about Belichick defenses. We'll let you know what they said about it next.
At a pregame ritual where you do a shot and a half of Hennessy before the game. Did you do anything to get warmed up tonight?
We'll see, because I ain't playing, so I had a three shot minimum today. So I'm feeling real good. So I took one for me, I took one for big bro, and I got one for little bro. So I made sure I
perfect. Honored.
It was Marshawn Lynch last night, just chilling back in the seat. I thought they were gonna ask too many questions and he was gonna be giving them too much information. I like that three Hennessy shot minimum.
Yeah, I know. That's the floor.
Catch that word, minimum.
Yeah, the floor.
In there. Yeah, the minimum. He did actually. There was one play. I think it was Seattle was on offense. I think you got this one too, Ryan. A little slip up. Geno Smith, I think, hiked the ball.
This was right at the end of the quarter.
Yeah, and like nobody really moved. You could see it was just a busted play, and Geno just took it, looked confused, and dove forward like a yard or two. And this was in the middle of the broadcast, right before Marshawn Lynch came off the air, and this is what you got from him.
Protect that football, right, Marshawn? That's the key.
Protect that ball.
protected. Oh, what the
I don't think. Hey, he's getting the jump off sides.
Yeah, he jumped off sides.
You're the best.
Yeah,
thank you, man. I want to thank Marshawn Lynch. Not as wild about the language. I want to apologize for some of the language. It's not what we're trying to do on this show. I had to remind Eli that this show is live. So Eli's learned his lesson. Marshawn, I probably should have reminded him. Keep your hands down,
below
Eli.
The screen.
Anyway, we apologize for that. But anyway, let's get back to some football here, E.
I think it's kind of like what you expect with Marshawn. Like, do they have Aqib Talib on there? I mean, what do you think he's going to be doing?
Right? They should be.
What the
Yeah, they should be doing a game.
Oh, what the
I know, I do like that. It is interesting, like the whole, hey, I take a shot before I play. Take a shot ahead of me before he'd go out there. I mean, whatever. I mean, it's just a ritual.
There's not like one shot of Hennessy is going to make him look sideways.
No, and
I took one for me. I took one for big bro, and I got one for little bro. Yeah.
I think I heard like Courtney from this morning talking about how that's a gateway drug to bigger problems. I was like, it was like the whole mindset of like, oh, now you're dependent on it. And like, no, I mean, I know. Oh, it's the same with a pregame meal. No.
Spaghetti. So I heard spaghetti is the same thing.
It's a gateway, drug.
Yeah, steak and eggs with spaghetti. I think I'm worried about Mac.
Yeah, he may eat some chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. Oh my God, he's addicted.
Yeah, but the interesting one to me. So Tom Brady was on there, and I thought it was fantastic. So they started talking about defenses, and Peyton Manning asked him, you know, basically, would you rather play a team that's just loaded with talent but does the same thing all the time? Remember, we always talk about like Seattle, they're just loaded. You know exactly what they're going to do. They're just very good at it. Or would you rather play a team that's a little more exotic to it? You know, like exotic blitzes and different things, unpredictable. And this was his answer. Listen to both these guys talk about the Belichick's defenses.
You know, it's. I think defenses have to change a little bit from time to time. But, I mean, Coach Belichick's defense hasn't changed much in 20 years. It may look a little bit different.
To me, the Belichick defense, the Tampa, Monty Kiffin defense, Seattle, Legion of Boom, Pittsburgh, I mean, you knew exactly what they were going to do. They weren't confusing. Baltimore was different. They had talented players, and they were confusing. That made it tough.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm confused.
Wow.
So Belichick's defense is, you knew exactly what they were going to do. They haven't changed at all. And like, you just, it was the same thing.
I mean, it's always... It's
you knew
always,
what they were going to do?
I know, but like you're acting like... I think people think like there's like how many different coverages can you invent?
Christian, the whole there thing are with no Peyton other Manning
There's only like so many coverages.
What happened to seeing ghosts from Sam Darnold? They're confusing him. Look what he does to rookie quarterbacks. He shows them one thing and pulls it away, and he shows them something different. It's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. Peyton Manning, you know, all those years he put up 50 points, 50 touchdowns, came and put 3 in an AFC title game. What happened? Oh, he confused his looks. He showed him this, pulled it away. I mean, we thought this defense for years is all about confusion. Confusion to quarterback, making them look like they're seeing something that's not there. And you got these two quarterbacks that are like, hasn't really changed. And Peyton Manning's like, yeah, I mean, these, you know what they're going to do. There's no surprises.
To me,
look surprised a few times, Peyton.
No, I would say, exactly. I mean, look at all those interceptions. Or was it just Ty Law was really, really good? Rodney was really good. Like, I mean, the one defense out there that Brady talks about all the time is Miami back in the early 2000s when they literally lined up in the exact same front. It was the easiest defense to prepare for as far as, you know, information, like where are they going to line up,
Miami.
What are they going to do. But it was so much difficult because they just had really good players.
Well, he mentioned Miami. He's like, I couldn't do it. Yeah. I threw 110 yards, 50, 75
still
yards
do it.
Against
them. It wasn't nothing to do with the scheme. It's like they were just good at the one thing that they did. Monty Kiffin, he talked about Tampa Bay defense. That's at Tampa 2, where he created a new version of Cover 2, which is basically Cover 3, which was confused everybody when it first came out, but that's all they did. John Lynch, Hall of Famer.
But are you surprised that they threw Bill Belichick's defense in that group?
That's kind of a dig, isn't it? Listen, hey, guys, don't worry. He ain't doing anything different. He ain't doing anything.
We know.
He's been doing the same thing for 20
years.
Let
me hear Peyton say it again, Ryan. Let me hear like Peyton's side of it again, if I can.
Seattle, because... Legion of Boom, Pittsburgh. I mean, you knew exactly what they were going to do. They weren't confusing. Baltimore was different. They had talented players.
You knew exactly what they were going to do, and they weren't confusing.
Wow, this.
All I can say is I don't know. I think they are confusing. Yeah, and it looks like they confused Peyton Manning a few times.
Well, can we say that? Let's be careful now. We're talking about Peyton Manning, Savant, Tom Brady, savant.
Yeah, but they made Manning look bad at times. He only started figuring them out late in his career.
So to me, so I can understand a guy like Peyton Manning going, you know what, they ain't doing anything crazy. I know what they're doing. The timing's good. Maybe the players are kind of real savvy, because they know what I'm doing. That's why those
Brady
battles
didn't look good either. Like he didn't look like he knew what was going on there a couple weeks ago either.
Right? Really? So how well does he know him? Because he only scored 19 points. Unlike the Dallas Cowboys that put like 30 something on you.
He also talked about how he's a warm weather quarterback now.
Oh, that's easy. It
happened real fast. He's just warm. Yeah. He doesn't want anything to do with the cold. He's worried about going to Washington in a couple years.
Oh, my God.
A couple weeks, rather.
Duck boats before, but in freezing cold, there was nothing like this.
Think about it. Like, he talks about how it happened older. Quick. Oh, you don't want to mess with it.
You know, when you're young, you're like, I miss the seasons.
Never. See, you grew up, you were born and raised out here. Right? You were born and raised out here. You don't know anything other than this.
No, but I'm just saying, I miss the seasons. Like as you get older, it's like every January, February, March pisses you off more. More and more. February especially just pisses you off. You're like, screw the seasons. As a matter of fact, I hate leaves. When I see a beautiful tree, I think about raking.
Exactly.
That's about it, getting rid of them.
The leaf blower. Sprinklers, covering my pool.
Yeah, I just think the older you get, you're like, yeah, you know what? Stick the seasons, okay? I'm going to the warm weather. And that's what Brady
is. Dude,
actually did it early. He's 40s, 44.
I did it. I know, right?
Yeah.
I didn't own a coat until I was 19 years old.
Neither did Garrett Richards.
Did I know? So when he said that, I was like, never owned a coat. Went to school. One owned coats unless you went skiing.
Yeah, you start to get pissed off
only
right now.
Rich people went skiing.
You walk out of here at 6 o'clock, you can't even see in front of you.
What do you think it's going to be one time?
Like, 6 o'clock. What's the sunset? What, 5:45?
When are we falling back?
You have your seasons.
A couple weeks.
Stick your seasons.
Soon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be dark at 1.
Oh, the sun will be going down. You're going to get those nice sunsets if you're going down the pike.
1:30.
If you're going west, it's
really
going to be
throws my wife and I in the weekends like just for a loop a little bit. Because like at 4:30 when it's pitch black, and I look at her and I say, you want any wine? I mean,
That's actually a good point.
I mean, am I wrong? Like, how many people out there, like on a Saturday night, it's like 4:30. It's like pitch black. And also you're like, grab a beer. Oh, you want a glass of wine? Want any wine? It's like, it's 4:30. Oh, it's dark outside. I don't know what to tell you. I'm thinking about having a drink right now.
You know,
now.
It's the same thing with the kids. Like, you get home and you're like, all right, man, when is it time for them to go to bed? And it's like 6 o'clock. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, it's so bad.
3 more hours.
It's like 8 o'clock. It feels like it's like midnight, you know, in another month or so. Maybe even right now.
I hate it.
Freaking stick your seasons. Brady's got it right.
Oh, man.
God bless him.
Doesn't he?
Speaking of getting it right, Ben Volen. I don't know if he ever does or not, but we'll talk to him next. No, that's our guy. He's actually down in New York City. He's at the NFL fall ownership meetings. Get his thoughts, because there's some action down there. And we'll get his thoughts on what's going on down there as well as the Patriots. That's last weekend, what to expect this weekend. We'll do it next with Ben Volen. Getting dark out there.
3:30, already.
3:34, already dark. Time to start
all
drinking.
Those farmers out there benefiting from the extra hour of sunlight.
Nice classic cab. Settle in a little bit. Like, hit that fire.
It's like the nightly news isn't even on.
All right, let's go to the Harbor One Hotline. Our guy, Ben Volen, the Boston Globe. Wasn't able to be with us today because he's got bigger and better things
to do. Yeah.
You know, the fall
more
ownership meetings down in New York City. He's chilling down there. Bringing in my guy, Ben Volen. Benny, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, boys? Just, you know, eating some caviar and rubbing some elbows with our nation's elite businessmen here in New York City. And actually, it's not quite so glamorous. We're just sitting in the lobby of a hotel while all the official business goes on behind closed doors. Now, but
when you get into that kind of setting, you know, there's some big wigs there. Do you actually, like, do you gel back the sides? Or do you put any product in your hair? Like, how does Ben Volen look in an event like this?
Oh, you should see me today, boys. I got all the product in my hair right now. I got my finest quarter zip sweater.
Okay.
Man, when you're around these billionaires, man, you got to play the part. And to me, the quarter zip sweater, that's like the uniform of the billionaires club. So I'm trying to fit in as best as I can. No question.
So you're just lingering in the lobby waiting for the doors to open, and then what do you do? Grab an owner and try and like ask him questions? Or how does it work?
Yeah.
How's it going? Mr. Kraft, how's it going?
So,
TMZ.
So they keep us entertained and they keep our
everything going.
they keep our notebooks full by giving us some press conferences like we just heard from Troy Vincent and Dr. Alan Sills, and they talked about, you know, the penalties through the first half of the year and the instant replay system.
Oh, who's falling asleep?
Yeah.
Hey, so, Ben.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we're going to get to the game a little bit, but from what I understand, there are some former Washington football team employees down there, and are they passing out pamphlets demanding transparency in this investigation? What are you witnessing down there?
So, yeah, it was interesting. I'm just sitting in the lobby, you know, staking it out, waiting for owners to show up. And I see these two women start, talking with Washington Post employees. And I immediately was like, okay, this has to be related to the Washington football team investigation. And it was a former cheerleader and a former marketing employee. And they were two of the women interviewed in the investigation. And they wrote a letter to all 32 owners, and they wanted to hand deliver them today here at the meeting. So they came to the hotel to deliver these letters to each owner demanding accountability and transparency with this investigation. They talked to the NFL investigators, talked to over 100 people, you know, with in and outside of that organization over 10 months, and they didn't even come up with a written report. They presented everything verbally. They didn't put anything in paper. You know, to date, the only person who's had any sort of accountability is John Gruden, who didn't even work for the team. So they decided to come today and make a ruckus and make some noise, and they got their voices heard. And we're going to hear from Goodell at some point, either tonight or tomorrow, and he's definitely going to be asked about this. But I just, you know, there continues to be more pressure on the league to be way more transparent than they have been.
See, you know, this story is interesting because I think most people out here in New England will compare this to the Wells report and then the Deflategate and then the 500-page report and all the money that they spent on this stupid document to explain whether or not, or to prove whether or not, you know, Brady was deflating footballs. And yet you have this situation, and they don't even write a report, and they don't release anything, and they just have a verbal, paraphrasing of what happened. Like, to me, that is insulting, is it not?
You are 100% right. It's insulting. It's a slap in the face to the women in the organization who came forward, who risked a lot, you know, personally and professionally. One of the women who came here today, she was fired. In 2019, she said she was encouraged to go speak to the team's assistant general counsel, and you know, she poured her guts out with a box of tissues, and then nothing came of it. And then eventually, you know, she got fired for kind of being a rebel rouser, I guess. And this is someone. This isn't like it happened in 2009. She said she worked for the team from 2015 to 18. So this is recent history still for that organization. And you're right. It is amazing that they produce a 243-page report for deflated footballs and zero pages for this. And now Congress is getting involved, and the women today said their law firm was contacted. They're going to be cooperating with you know, any sort of congressional oversight. This is getting to be a very sticky situation for the NFL, and it's remarkable that Dan Snyder has not faced any real accountability for this, because it comes straight to the top.
Yeah, we're talking to Ben Volin on the Harbor One Hotline. He's down in New York City at the fall ownership meetings. And Ben, the lack of transparency tells me that there are some big names involved. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're talking about John Gruden, what happened with him, and even a guy like Schefter kind of took a little shrapnel from the whole thing, too. Like, the fact that they haven't come out and there's zero transparency tells me that there could be some guys in trouble, right? They've got to be hiding something.
That's definitely my hunch as well. Why otherwise would you not produce a written report? And yes, it does make me think that the NFL knew that anything written down would be used against them eventually.
Nice.
Some heads could roll. So yeah, this is a really sticky situation. And the fact that Congress is getting involved is not good for the NFL. So I definitely don't think we have heard the last of this story.
Okay, so I just want to make sure, you know, you come back with an article or a column. Okay, you're going to come back with a column, right?
Column or article?
Today will be, I think, a column on. I mean, I was going to write about, you know, fourth and two and penalties and such.
Oh.
But how do you not write about this now with the women showing up, you know, with the letters?
Have you heard the name Deshaun Watson mentioned down there? Because I think a lot of people are curious what that might happen there with this guy. If he is traded, are they going to put him on the exempt list or let him play?
Yeah, that's a great question. And Troy Vincent in his press conference just now was just asked that question. And Troy Vincent is one rung below Roger Goodell, so he's pretty high up in the NFL. And he was asked, so is Watson going to be available to play if he gets traded? And Vincent goes, yeah, that's a Roger question. So everyone, there's a lot of buck passing, and eventually Goodell, either tonight or tomorrow, will be asked that. I don't think we're going to get a defined answer. I think the NFL will let him play while the legal process plays out. I think the Texans have kind of saved the NFL and bailed him out a little bit by keeping Watson off the field and taking that decision out of Goodell's hands. But if the Carolina Panthers do make a big move for Watson, I think he'll be able to play until the court case, you know, is decided one way or the other. To me, the bigger issue is our team's just willing to give up that big haul for him,
right,
not knowing if he can play, not knowing if he's going to be suspended next year. So that, to me, is the impediment. But, like, if you're the Carolina Panthers and you're 3-4 and the quarterback is clearly what's holding you back, I mean, I think that's a team that could be desperate enough to do it. And I think Watson would probably be able to play this year.
So they're looking for, I want to say, 3 first-round picks, which I don't think they will get. But I guess we'll see. So, all right, Ben, so big win on Sunday. Huge win. It was the Jets, though. That's what everyone's telling me, right? As soon as they congratulate them for the big win, they say, but it was the Jets. So give me your, your expert analysis of what you saw, your first impressions of that game.
Well, so I'm wondering if maybe we can figure out where the Texans got those Letterman jackets a few years ago, because this was a great homecoming win for the Patriots.
Mm.
The boosters, the alums, they feel great after a win like this. You get to beat up on a weak opponent. So great homecoming win for the Patriots. You know, it's funny. They jumped from, like, 23rd in points scored to 11 in points scored. Their point differential on the season went from negative to plus 39. I mean, you win by 41 points. It makes a lot of the stats look good.
And they're no longer bad in the red zone. They're now average.
Yeah, six for six. I mean, we'll talk about just a get-right day for everything. And, look, I think that's important. I think a team like that just needs to have some confidence. A lot was going wrong for them. So it's good to have a feel-good day where everything goes right and to have a little confidence. And maybe they can build on it. But just to, you know, I wouldn't be trolling Volan if I didn't say, I mean, come on. They've still only beaten up on the Jets and the Texans. Much bigger test this week. We'll have a much better idea where the Patriots are at if they can go on the road and beat the Chargers. So, to me, Sunday's game was really just a sign of how much of a disorganized mess the Jets are and how that team really just looks completely in over their heads.
All right, we're talking to Ben Volan. And, Ben, I agree. However, I think this team and maybe some certain individuals were in desperate need of a confidence boost, you know, and the way they got Jonnu Smith involved before he got hurt, I think helps him. The fact that the rookies or the running backs ran the ball without fumbling, right? Like, just, I feel Aguilar with that first touchdown pass, like he needed that after what happened in Dallas. So, and maybe a buy-in, maybe a little bit of a buy-in, right? Being coached hard and 2-4, making mistakes, things aren't going well. You needed to see that. So I think it was a good confidence game for this individual and just a group in general.
Yeah, I would agree that you need a game like that. Like I said, even when they beat the Texans a couple weeks ago, it was a grind, and yeah, we were still crushing them for not beating them by more. So, 11 different receivers catch the ball, 6 for 6 in the red zone. I think hopefully the biggest thing for them going forward is they finally found the right offensive line combination, and I would like to see Onwenu stick at right tackle. Even when Trent Brown comes back, I thought they should have gone with Trent Brown at left tackle all season long, because that's where he was great back in 2018, and Onwenu was pretty good at right tackle last year. So I hope this
Ben,
is
what
the
took
combination
him so long
that they settle on.
What took him so
yeah,
long?
Yeah, I don't know. They're really trying to. They really wanted Onwenu. I think they view him more as a natural guard, and Trent Brown the last couple of years did play right tackle for the Raiders. And, you know, McDaniels told us last week how hard it is. You think, oh, well, you just switch the guy's position. I mean, to go from the left side of the line to the right side of the line, apparently the verbiage is completely different, and a word means one thing on the left side and a completely different thing on the right side. And so McDaniel was saying how hard of a
so hey, funny, man. Like the lineman, they say, you know, the same rules and calls are for the tight end when he goes from right to left. Isn't that funny how they can figure it out, yet the stupid lineman can't?
Boy, first Brady's ripping on the intelligence of the defenders. Now you're ripping on offensive linemen.
I know. I just think it's funny how, like, they can't go from right to left yet. Everybody else can, yet they can't. So we're talking to Ben Volan live from New York City. So, Ben, Jonathan Jones looks like he's done. Man, I really feel like the Pages could use, like, a veteran cornerback. You know where they could find one?
Gilmore?
Well, you know, the great thing is they've got Stephon Gilmore coming back.
Oh, that's right. Oh, wait, no, he's a Carolina Panther. Oh. We'll see him soon, though. What are they going to do? They're light.
They traded him for a can of chicken noodle soup, I believe, too. So it's a good thing they got that.
I think Philly got more for Flacco than you got for Gilmore.
That's the thing that really bugs me about the Gilmore deal. Like, okay, you decide you couldn't come to a contract extension or whatever. He wasn't going to play for you. Why did this have to happen now, and why did you get nothing for him? Why didn't you trade him in the offseason and get more for him? So just not getting any return on the investment, and it just shows how thin they are in the secondary. And more injuries are going to come. You know, injuries beget injuries in the NFL when backups start playing. And, you know, Gilmore was – they really could have used him this year, and they're in 3-4. They're right in the thick of things in the AFC. So I really wonder why they felt they just had to get rid of the guy and didn't get any sort of return on him.
So we were trying to figure that out, Ben, because we're looking at this AFC, and 12 teams are between 5-2 and 3-4. And Fourier had this last, and then on Friday, saying they got to go 4-1 here in the next five. And then obviously 1-0. So now you got to go 3-1. So I didn't think 10 wins would be a playoff team. I now think it is, maybe even 9. Where are you with the Patriots? Can they get to 9? Can they get to 10?
They definitely can, and yes, I mean, they're right still in the thick of things, and this is a huge game against the Chargers. They win this game, and boom, it's going to catapult them right into the thick of the playoff race, and it'll show teams and the rest of us that the Patriots are a legit team. They're not just beating up on Houston and the Jets. So can they get there? Yeah, but they haven't shown that. You know, they've given games away so far this year against teams that look really mediocre. That Dolphins loss looks horrible. Mm. Even the Saints loss, I think, is looking pretty bad right now. I mean, I know they've got a winning record and everything, but that is not a very good football
game. Awful football game last night. Awful.
Yeah, awful. So, I mean, will the Patriots stop giving games away? Is this Jets game a sign of things to come? The Patriots sure hope so, but it's obviously going to be a lot tougher. And look, they are where they are right now, 3-4. They had 5 of their first 7 games at home, so they've got a lot of road games coming up. You know, they still have to play Buffalo twice. So they've got to be a lot more perfect than they have been so far.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because you know, the whole 3-4 record. You know, I gave this stat to Lou the other day. You know, since 2000, 140 teams have started the season 3-4. Only 15% of those teams made the playoffs, and the average record of those 140 teams was 7-9. So it's. I mean, I know everyone's feeling good right now, but it's like I feel like all their issues were camouflaged by the fact that they played the Jets, and it was really, really easy to beat the Jets. Like, not, you know, I don't want to take anything away from beating a pro football team, but listen.
But you are.
Mike White is not intimidating anybody anytime soon.
No, I completely agree. And the Patriots jumped out to a 14-0 lead before the Jets even gained a yard on Sunday. So great win over the Jets, but I don't think you can take that and extract it and expect the Patriots to – you know, be on fire all of a sudden. You know, the reason teams that start 3-4 start 7-9 or finish 7-9 is because they're mediocre teams. You know, usually the good teams don't start 3-4. So maybe the Patriots are a special case. Maybe it's the 2001 team all over where they hit their stride over the second half of the season. But, you know, none of this like alternating wins and losses. They're going to have to put a run together, and they're going to have to beat real teams like the Chargers and the Browns and the Bills twice. This is not going to be an easy stretch for them. And other than against the two worst teams in the league, the Patriots have not shown that they can play winning football.
All right. I was talking to Ben Volen. Ben, offensively, I don't know if you heard Mac Jones with us on Monday, but we were asking him, you know, because people have been calling him a dink and dunk quarterback, the Jets play-by-play guy, Rex Ryan. And his response was, you know, I like it or whatever. I love it. He doesn't mind it one bit. He's just moving the football. I think it was, you always take a profit, you never go broke. So I looked at this offense for you. I said it, the gloves have been off for a couple of weeks, and I thought so even more so this week. Is it just, you watch games now, he'll take what you give him, but he'll take shots down the field. So how do you look at his play, you know, basing off what you saw on Sunday and so far?
Well, I mean, Sunday he was pretty much flawless. There was one pass that he could have had picked. It was in the first half.
Yep.
The Jets linebacker read it. But otherwise, Mac was great. And whatever, dink and dunk, check down. Like, yeah, you'd like to see him push the ball down the field a little bit. But he had 12 – the Patriots had 12 plays over 20 yards the other day. So they were getting huge chunks in the passing game. And I thought McDaniels did a great job. You know, the Jets, their whole mantra around the team with Robert Saleh is all gas, no brakes. Yeah. And I think the Patriots did a great job of taking advantage of that with all these screen passes that they called the other day. They ripped off huge chunks of yardage and with three or four different screen passes. And who cares if it's a screen pass or if he's chucking you 25 yards down the field? All that matters is the result of the play. And the Patriots offense had its by far its best day of the season, 9 scores in 10 possessions. So, I mean, whatever. You look at, sure, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, some of these other quarterbacks might be cutting it loose this year. Mac Jones is the highest rated quarterback. He's got a higher rating than Jimmy Garoppolo and Ben Roethlisberger right now. And you're starting to win some football games with Mac Jones. So who cares how far the passes travel in the air, as long as they're getting the yards out of you.
So, okay, so speaking of playing a good team that's coming off a bye again, back-to-back weeks where the Patriots have to play a team coming off a bye. This time they're going to go all the way out west and take on the L.A. Chargers against second-year quarterback Justin Herbert and first-year coach Brandon Staley, I think his name is, if I get that right. So how do you see this one playing out?
Haven't done a huge amount of research yet into the Chargers, but this is a different Chargers team. I'm a big believer in Brandon Staley. I think he's a very good young coach. I think he was like a kind of out of left field type of coach. He was someone coaching in the Division III level just 5 years ago. Like, frankly, someone that like the Patriots would hire out of nowhere. But he was the coordinator for the Rams last year, their number one defense. They completely shut down the Patriots in that game. It was 24-3. And the Chargers to me are kind of like the Bucks last year, where they've, you know, had a lot of high draft picks, a lot of talent, and they just never, you know, that's a dysfunctional organization that's never brought it together. But they've got a terrific young quarterback in Herbert, and I really like Staley as a coach. And they're smarting. They're coming off a loss, but they've had a bye 2 weeks. So the Patriots are going to get all that the Chargers can handle next Sunday. So it's obviously going to be a much more difficult situation than what they had against the Jets. And it's not going to be the most hostile crowd. It might, frankly, be close to a home game out there in L.A. with all the Patriots fans and the lack of Chargers fans. But, the Patriots, their two road games so far are the Jets and the Texans. So it's really hard to know what type of team the Patriots are on the road. But this is by far their most difficult road test of the year so far.
All right, Ben, when do you expect Goodell to be speaking? Is that today or tomorrow?
We're not sure. If the meeting goes quick, we might get him tonight, but otherwise we got to wait till the morning. So we're all rooting for it to be tonight so we can kind of get in and get out of here.
Now, are you already in the lineup to ask your question? I know how they go around the room and everybody gets one question and you don't get a follow-up.
It is hard to get a follow-up, although it's a small media. It's not like the Super Bowl where they got 500 kids, people to deal with, and they got to play 60 kids. So it's a small room, so I can...
So what is your question going to be? What are you going to ask them? What do you think you're going to ask them?
Hi, Roger. Sophie Schneider.
First, I'll ask him if he's vaccinated. he's got to be asked questions about this investigation and transparency.
What are you going to ask him? What do you want to know?
Compare it to Deflategate. What do you want to know? Call him the hypocrisy.
Yeah, call him out. Yell at him.
Well, I think the question is how is John Gruden the only person to face accountability for this whole thing, and why isn't Dan Snyder being made accountable? And are you guys going to release this report? And here's a key question: are you going to participate with Congress? Because they said we look forward to speaking with Congress, but they didn't say they're actually going to provide documents and participate and cooperate with Congress. So that's to me a key question too. Is the NFL actually going to deal with Congress and all this over?
I like the hypocrisy. Yeah. Wells report.
Write it
nothing,
down. Write it down for this. So you don't mess it up.
All right, Ben. Listen, enjoy your time in New York City. Okay, continue to style, which I know you will, and we will look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, boys. Hey, I'll say this question is direct from Christian and Lou.
Yes. So yes, do that.
I'll put your guys' name on it. Don't worry.
This comes from the MFers. I love that. All right, Ben.
Thanks.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. Ben Volen down there in New York City. Ben Volen of the Globe. By the way, this hour, Maloney and Forey, is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. All right, when we come back, I want to do a little socks. Because Heim Bloom spoke yesterday talking about the offseason, what he kind of wants to build. And then there's, as far as Red Sox fans, how do you continue the momentum? What do you want to see this team do? Is it in Heim Bloom we trust, or do you need a big name? We'll talk about it next on Maloney and Forey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.